Hey, Catherine Albrecht here, and you probably noticed that that's not my usual bumper music. Well, this isn't going to be my usual show. I got to tell you, those of you who have been hanging on, longtime listeners who I know have been listening to the show for two, three, four, I think we're coming up, I think I'm almost to my four-year anniversary, you four-year longtime listeners who have been hanging on through all of the rebroadcasts, the best of shows that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, I want to say to you a deep and sincere thank you, because I am actually live today. Let me give you the date so you can actually double-check this and verify I'm telling the truth, but it is Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the year of our Lord, 2011, and Catherine Albrecht is alive and well. My heart is still pumping, my voice is still going, and I am live on the air today. Now, I know some of you, probably new to the show, are like, well, so yeah, isn't that what radio is supposed to be? But it was exactly a month ago today, actually, on February 17th, that I made the announcement that I had been diagnosed with breast cancer and was going in for surgery. I did indeed have a mastectomy on the 22nd. Of February, and my goodness, has my life ever been an incredible saga since that time. Now, I have been probably at some of the lowest lows that I can ever recall hitting in my entire life in terms of questioning everything that I held to be true, some of the lowest lows in terms of really wondering how much longer I had on this earth. And there's really nothing like staring a cancer diagnosis in the face and being told by, the medical professionals who are out there, you know, trying to encourage you and being told some pretty dark news. I have had some dark news. I've also, though, been raised to some of the highest heights that I think I've hit in my life as well. It's been an extraordinary journey. It's one that I've really debated how I'm going to come back on the air and share with all of the listeners and the people who I really consider to be my dear friends out there. And I also, before I get too much further into that, before a tear comes to my eye, I want to thank you all for the beautiful emails, for the encouragement, for the prayers, for the cards that you've sent, for the letters that have come in, for the books that people have sent me and given to me, for just the incredible outpouring of financial help, which we've been needing. I really want to thank everybody out there. I think had it not been for you guys, I would have lost hope at certain points of this journey. So let me bring you up to speed, because I know a lot of people out there. In fact, I got just a couple of emails even today. Catherine, we need an update. Where'd you go? What's happening? Hello, knock, knock. And let me see if I can bring you guys up to speed. So after my surgery on the 22nd, so it was 3 weeks on Tuesday. So I'm in my fourth week of recovery. It was 3 weeks Tuesday. So now we're into week four. I did great, actually. I worked pretty extensively doing a lot of imagery before I went in for the surgery, and I was literally laughing and joking and smiling with the nurses and the anesthesiologist before I went in, which is a far cry from, oh my gosh, what are you going to do to me, which is probably your normal state. So I'm a big believer in a lot of this mind over matter stuff that is you become a cancer patient, or as you begin working with cancer patients or having concerns about any kind of life-threatening illness, you'll find a big part of that is your mental attitude, your state of consciousness, and that your body really is an extension of the kinds of thoughts, the kinds of beliefs, and the optimism or pessimism that's running through your mind. So for me, going into the surgery actually wasn't bad. My husband and I, and a dear friend of mine who was helping me with some of the imagery, we stayed in a hotel right near the hospital. The hospital that I went to was actually about 2 hours from my home. And there are some statistics out there, by the way, for anybody out there considering surgery for breast cancer or any other kind of cancer. There are some statistics showing that women who travel, I think it's more than 10 miles, it was either 5 or 10 miles from their home for their care, statistically do far better than women who don't. And that's not because there's any great benefit conferred upon you by spending a lot of time in a car and in traffic. It's actually because the cancer center or the hospital that's closest to you is likely not to be a world-class cancer center. So in my case, because I live so close to Boston, I'm only about an hour and a half from Boston, I was able to go to one of the top cancer facilities in the entire country. And I suppose those are Sloan Kettering, Dana-Farber, the Mayo Clinic. And apologies for any that I'm leaving out. But there are some top cancer centers, and if you can actually travel to one, by all means, you want to do that. So we stayed in a hotel down there the night before. went in the morning, had a couple of hours of, you know, asking lots of questions. What are you allergic to? And let me weigh you for the 100,000th time, take your blood pressure for the 50th time. And then finally, you know, went in for the surgery. And the last thing I remember was cracking a joke with my surgeon. And the next thing I remember, I was in a whole other room. She's standing to the right of me and waking me up and saying in my ear, everything went great. You did terrific through the surgery. So far, so good. That part was great. And a big part of the imagery that I did, there's a wonderful book, and I'm going to see if I can get the author to be a guest with us on the show, but a wonderful book about healing from surgery more quickly. And so we did all the imagery and all of the, you know, you kind of go into a deep state of relaxation and you envision and you sort of explain to your body, here's what we're going to do. We're going to heal, you know, after the surgery, we're not going to lose a lot of blood. And after the surgery, you know, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to, you know, everything's going to knit together fine. I'm going to feel fantastic. I'm not going to need a lot of pain medication. I'm not going to have a lot of pain. And everything that I visualized before the surgery turned out to be true. So that part was fabulous. Now let me get to the part that, you know, I said I'd kind of been dashed against some rocks. Let me get to the rocks part. So as my surgeon, bless her heart, and she's fabulous. If anybody in the Boston area needs a reference for a breast surgeon, I could not recommend anybody more highly. She's actually one of the people who actually trains the Harvard medical students to perform breast surgery. So I got probably, I'd say, one of the top dozen surgeons in the entire country. She's extraordinary. But as she's waking me up, she says, well, Catherine, you did great through the surgery. Everything went terrific. But I had to take all of your lymph nodes. Now, if anybody knows anything about cancer, your lymph nodes are kind of they're sort of the bellwether. They are they let you know how far the cancer has or has not spread. And the whole deal with breast cancer, as they always say, you know, with early detection, we can affect 100% cure, and it's pretty close. I mean, they're up to 99-98% for some of those in situ early stage cancers that, you know, they take them out, and that's pretty much the end of the story. But the opposite end of that whole coin that we hear about through all of the, you know, television ads and all of the PR stuff that they do, the opposite end of that is if you don't catch it early, you're pretty much toast. I mean, I'm summarizing in a nutshell here. But the way they tell if they caught it early or not is how extensively to spread through the place that it started, in the case of breast cancer, how extensively to spread through the breast, how big the tumor is, and whether it's gone up into your lymphatic system. So in the case of breast cancer, it starts in the breast. It then, if it gets big enough, it'll kind of infiltrate and then work its way sort of up the lymph channel and up into those lymph glands that are located under the underarm. And once it hits there, that lymphatic fluid flows through a very extensive system. It's kind of like canals, and one doctor described it to me as sort of the sewage system of the body, because it washes away just like an actual sewer. A storm sewer would wash away leaves and debris after a storm. That's kind of what your lymphatic system does. And it does that through the whole body, through a whole extensive system of channels. Well, once the cancer hits there, it's almost like this cancer has a mind of its own, and I have lots of thoughts on that. But once the cancer gets there, it attempts to hitch a ride, kind of builds a little canoe, hops into the channel, and then flows through the lymphatic system to find a new home somewhere else in the body. And in the case of breast cancer, there's four stages. One of them is, you know, sort of in the breast where it's not bothering anybody. One's in the breast where it's kind of reaching into the breast with its creepy tentacles. Another one's when it's made its way into the lymph system. And then finally, stage four, which is considered terminal and gives you a pretty short prognosis in terms of your remaining life expectancy. That last stage is called stage four, and that's when it has successfully made its way into the lymph channel, hopped a ride to some other organ, typically the lungs, the liver, the bones, or even the brain, and then set up shop there. So that was my fear, of course, when I'm told that we took all your lymph nodes, you know, that's the next piece. So this week, I actually had the scans for that, the bone, brain, liver, lung scans. And I'll leave you guys hanging, just kind of Batman style, as our heroine is heading for the chopping blades here. And I'll give you the outcome when we come back. Stay tuned.
We live in a scary world, and things seem to get worse every day. Yet when you hear me on the radio, there's a spring in my step and a smile in my voice. How is that possible with all the bad news I have to plow through each day? The answer is a simple one. It's because of my relationship with God. I come to Him with my prayers, faith, and love, and He rewards me with protection, courage, and calm. He meets all my needs and opens doors for me when they need to be opened. God wants that kind of relationship with you, too. To find the comfort and security that comes from knowing the God of the universe, the loving God who made you, you can start by reading the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible. Pray before you begin reading. Ask God to touch your heart and let you feel His love. The Lord wants to save you from the ravening beast nipping at all of our heels. He wants to embrace you as His beloved child and meet all of your needs. Give Him a chance to do it. Read the book of Matthew today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you realize that Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried to implement the entire socialist program upon America, but alert congressmen stopped him in his tracks? And yet over 22,000 of the laws that he got passed are still on the books, even though the Supreme Court said that they were null and void and should not be used today. We'd like to help you understand how these things are going to affect you and yours in the near future by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now while operators are standing by to take your call. Call now. It's a free one-year subscription.
It's good to be back on the air. Hey, and I want to say thank you to Donovan, who picked that great song for me. You know, I told him we're going to be coming up with some new music for the show about, you know, really kicking some butt because, excuse me, that's the mode that I've been in for the last couple of weeks, of saying, you know what, I don't care how scary this thing is. It's not going to keep me down, and I am going to fight this thing, and I am going to win this, and it's going to be, as a good friend of mine said, my biggest victory. So how's that, Cancer? You take that. Kick it. I'm going to kick it right in the kneecaps. So as we last left our heroine from waking up from a surgery, being told by her surgeon that 12 out of 28 of those lymph nodes were positive. Now, that's a really bad sign. That's, you know, it's not just kind of a bad sign. It's actually a really bad sign. And I didn't really understand at the time just how bad of a sign it was until I recovered from my surgery. And I kind of, you know, stuck my toe back in the pond of dealing with the oncologist trying to figure out, all right, so what's the next step now? So here's where this thing really gets, you know, began to get a little bit heavy, is there's a bunch of things about breast cancer that they didn't know 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. I actually lost my favorite aunt, absolutely beloved aunt, my mother's sister, to breast cancer. She died in her late 50s. She was probably 58, I believe, at the time, back in 1994. And back in 1994, they did not have the tools that they have today to fight breast cancer. And as you guys know, I'm a huge believer in natural everything. I've gone through my total diet and revamped everything. I'm drinking all natural juices and organic, fresh, raw vegetables and raw juices. And I've cut out, you know, white flour is gone from my diet. Sugar's gone from my diet. I've done everything that a person could humanly do, taking supplements. I got, you know, I'm reading all the latest research. So you guys know me. I'm not a person to kind of blindly say, oh, well, if you tell me aspartame is good for me, then I'll just suck down some Splenda. That's not me, right? You guys know that. That's totally not me. And so I need you to bear with me because I've gotten a ton of email going, Catherine, don't listen to the medical establishment. I'm listening to everybody. And some very good cases have been made for me as to why the medical establishment has some answers. So before I go into this testing and the scary part, let me go into just a little bit of information. And if you know anybody who's going through breast cancer, this would be relevant to their story as well. So when they find the lump, right, the first thing they do when they find a lump, they send you in for a mammogram. And if the mammogram is inconclusive or doesn't really, you know, they're not really sure, then they might give you a sonogram. I have spoken to my breast surgeon about thermography, which is the new thermal way of finding breast cancer. She's not really convinced because in her practice, it hasn't worked as well as she would like to see it work. She said it may be the wave of the future once they perfect a little bit. But anyway, so normally they give you the mammogram, they give you potentially a sonogram, then they do a biopsy. And the biopsy, if you ever have to have one of any part of your body, do yourself a favor, ask for more pain medication than they're likely to give you because it was unbelievably painful. So the biopsy, they take a needle, they take out a little core of, you know, the needle goes in, it takes out a little piece of tissue from the tumor itself. So in my case, this is literally in my breast. I won't go into details, but it was awful. And at that point, they take that little piece and then they send it off to pathology and then they make some determinations about it. There are three markers on breast cancer tumors that are relevant. One of them has to do with whether it's responsive to estrogen. That's how you hear a lot of stuff about estrogen and breast cancer. That's where that marker comes in. Another one is progesterone, which is kind of the sort of analog to, or the antagonist to, I suppose you could say, to estrogen. And then there's this third marker that only about 15% of women have in their breast cancer tumors. It's called HER2, H-E-R-2, and it has to do with a growth factor. And if you have that, and again, only 15% of women have it, if you have it, it means that your tumor is super aggressive, very fast growing, and essentially virulently nasty. And in the past, if you had that marker, you know, you'd probably start, you know, shopping for black clothes for your family members. I mean, it was not a good thing. I have that marker. And not only do I have the marker, but once you have the marker, you can have it at level 1, 2, or 3. I have it at level 3 plus. So not only do I have the marker, but I've got the marker like off the scale. And that means that this tumor was growing at a tremendous clip. It also means that this tumor was highly likely to spread throughout my body and probably accounts for how it had gotten all up into my lymph nodes and all up under my arm and across my chest and yikes. So, and by the way, I had no idea any of this was going on. I mean, all I felt was a lump. There's no like obvious symptoms of any of this other than just a lump. I felt fine. So when I find out that I have 12 out of 28 lymph nodes, and I've got this, I'm estrogen positive, progesterone positive, HER2 positive, what they call triple positive. So I've got all these markers going on, and the tumor's responding to all of these things in my body. So it's using estrogen as a fuel to grow. It's using the HER2 as a fuel to grow. It's doing all these crazy things. And that meant that it was even more likely, here's the scary part, that if it was up in my lymph nodes, that it probably hitched a ride, as it aggressively tends to do, and landed in another organ. The key about breast cancer, and I did not know this. You know, we had Joan Vion on the show, and I have kicked myself 1,000 times to Sunday that I did not sit down when I had an opportunity in West Virginia with Joan Vion, when we were both speaking at Pastor Butch's tremendous conference out there, and when we both were filmed for Shadow Government, for the film that I co-produced. I made sure to get her interviewed and on camera for that film. I could kick myself. You know, I had a whole day with Joan. We sat together through the conference. We went to lunch together. And I knew that Joan had breast cancer, but breast cancer was like a distant blip on my screen. And, of course, Joan recently passed on from breast cancer. We talked about it on the show, and we did a tribute program to Joan. And she's one of the most incredible women that I know. Joan Vion, by the way, if you don't know, was essentially to the UN what I am to RFID and microchip implants. I mean, she brought the issue to people's awareness that the UN is doing some terrible things. She traveled all over the world, went to dozens of conferences, reported on everything these guys were doing. She wrote books. She was a tireless advocate for us being aware of what was going on with the UN and stopping some of their evil plans, to use some movie speak there. So Joan Vion had breast cancer. I don't know the details of her cancer. I could kick myself that I didn't, because this is all stuff that I've had to learn firsthand. And what I did not realize when I knew that Joan had cancer is that she had stage 4 cancer. And once you hit stage 4, you're terminal. That's when the cancer's in your lungs. It's in an organ. It somehow becomes systemic. It's no longer just in the local region of the breast and the lymph nodes, but it's actually in an organ. And at that point, they start talking about survival in terms of, you know, 2 years, maybe 5 years. You know, the 5-year survival rate for women with that level of breast cancer is about 15%, and the long term survival is about 1-3%. So that's what I was flirting with at the beginning of this week, flirting with unintentionally, because believe me, I wanted nothing to do with that dark character on the other side of the bar. But he was kind of coming my way. And I had some testing on Tuesday, which was just 2 days ago. Today's Thursday. I had some testing on Tuesday to take a look at that. And I think that I'm clear.
Never,
I think I'm out of the woods.
Jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy
Hey, Donovan, there was no music.
You'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath. Home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler...
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh! We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
Freedom's name is mighty sweet, and soon we're gonna name. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Got my hand on the gospel plan. Won't take nothing for my journey. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Hey, we're back. Catherine Albert here. Delighted to be back on the air live, and I mean absolutely live, heart beating, blood pressure fine, fully and totally and thoroughly, absolutely live on Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the year of our Lord, 2011. Kind of bringing you guys up to speed. So Monday, you know, they give you 3 weeks to heal from your surgery. I had a mastectomy on February 22nd. So Monday of this week, they finally said, okay, well, you're healed enough. Now it's time to kind of look at the next phase. And I'm debating, you know, do I want to do chemo? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to tackle this? I've been looking at all the alternative treatments and diet therapy and doing as much of it as I actually can do right now. And anyway, so Monday, I have my appointment with my oncologist. Now, I didn't even really know what the word oncologist meant. I mean, I sort of knew kind of they're cancer guys, but now I really know. So when you have cancer, there are two kinds of oncologists. There's maybe even more, but two that I've had to deal with. There's the medical oncologist who comes up with your chemotherapy regimen. And then there is a radiation oncologist who comes up with a radiation regimen. Now, I didn't know the difference between those two. I mean, I really have known so little about all of this, but I've become a super expert in the last 2 months. So on Monday, I met with the medical oncologist who I had met with before my surgery to kind of talk about, all right, well, what's the big picture and what does medical, you know, standard medical treatment have in store for me? And, you know, this guy had been so wonderful to me a couple of weeks before. My husband and I went together to both of these appointments and we loved him. I mean, he was like, oh my gosh, we're going to fight this and we're going to do everything we can and your chances are terrific and you're young and you're strong and you're healthy. And, you know, we got all these therapies and we got all these, you know, drugs and things that we can do and you're going to be fine. And then he prints out this little printout. They punch in all the details, you know, the HER2 thing I was telling you about, that marker and the estrogen thing and the size of the tumor. They punch in all these details. skills. And then they print you out a little printout that tells you your survival statistics. And instead of doing it, you know, we've all heard, like, you told me I had 6 months to live, right? They don't do that anymore. In fact, I don't think anybody really does that unless you're, you know, in renal failure or liver failure. So what they instead do is they have this figure that they call a five-year survival figure. And that five-year number is the percentage of people whose diagnosis matches yours who are still alive after 5 years. And so that number can be anywhere from, you know, 1%, I suppose, if you're in, you know, really bad shape, to 99% if they caught the tumor, quote unquote, early. So in my case, he hands me this thing, and it's a 10-year survival. I was like, okay, fine, 10 years. And it says 80%. And I thought, and he says, you know, I'm really sorry to have to hand you. This is before my surgery, mind you. He hands me this thing. He says, I'm really sorry to have to tell you this, but, you know, it's you know, there's some risk here, and, you know, I'm concerned for you, but we're going to fight it. And I'm looking at these numbers going, terrific, 80% chance. I mean, I don't even know if I have an 80% chance of being here anyway with all the craziness in the world, and I could get hit by a bus, and who knows. So if you could guarantee me an 80% chance of being here in 10 years, I'll take that. That sounds good. So then I have the surgery, find the bad lymph nodes, recover 3 weeks from the surgery, and go in on Monday to the same guy. And I say, all right, well, so I'm back. I had the surgery. I'm all recovered. I'm doing great, feeling strong. You know, you got a chance to look at the pathology. I know there was some lymph nodes, a little worried about that, but so, you know, talk to me. This guy, my husband and I are looking at each other. This guy completely changed his tune. No longer was it, oh, yeah, come on in, have a seat. How you doing? Oh, we're going to fight this. Now it was like grim. I mean, this guy was ashen. He was like white, ashen, grim, serious. And he says, well, you know, we're going to have you do some testing. You know, we're a little concerned this may have spread. And we're not even sure that, you know, I mean, if it's positive and if we find this has spread, then it becomes a whole other ballgame. Then it's systemic disease. And then chemo may not really be the best route. Because it's all about, and this is where, like, I'm going gulp. This is Monday, just 3 days ago. He says, because at that stage, it's not really about curing the cancer because it can't be cured. It's really about savoring every remaining moment. And chemotherapy is not the best way to savor your moments. And since it really wouldn't work anyway, you know, we often don't even recommend chemotherapy if it's spread into an organ. So this is what I'm going in with. And by the way, it's so bizarre because on Monday, and by the way, I feel terrific. If you could see me, I'm going to take a picture and post it up on the website. I look fabulous. I've lost 20 pounds because I'm now eating all these natural, wholesome juices and natural foods. I look terrific. My skin is glowing. My hair is glowing. I look fabulous. I feel terrific. And yet, all these people on Monday, because I had a couple other appointments, every one of them was, you know, acting like I was a dead woman. I had one, I went to my radiation oncology appointment. This is the radiation people. I'm going to be dealing with them in months, so I don't have to deal with them for a while. But I went just to introduce myself and, you know, meet them. The woman, I kid you not, I walk into this office and I get to my appointment. I meet with the radiation oncologist, whatever. As I'm leaving, the receptionist, a woman I've never met in my life, a total stranger, comes out from behind the reception desk around to the waiting room where I'm standing there and gives me a hug with tears in her eyes. I'm not kidding you. Total stranger hugging me with tears in my eyes, in her eyes. All day long, people kept doing things like you would do to somebody at a funeral who'd lost somebody. You know, they kept coming over and, like, putting their hand on my arm or putting their hand on my hand. I was like, oh, my gosh, am I like... Is it that bad? So this was my Monday, just so you guys know. Now, I have to also tell you that there are literally hundreds, probably thousands of people who have been praying for me. I know that many of you listeners have put me on prayer lines. I know that you guys yourselves have been praying. I've gotten amazing email from you guys. I've gotten fabulous get well cards with scripture. My entire church, on Monday night, they had a church, a prayer meeting, and they were praying for me on Monday night because they knew Tuesday I was going in for the test. So Tuesday I go in for the test, and they are CAT scan and bone scan. And I have hilarious stories. I got to tell you about this because it funny stuff. So anyway, I know you're thinking only Catherine Albrecht could find bone scans and CAT scans funny, but they were. So anyway, I go in for all these tests on Tuesday, and as you can imagine, like Tuesday night, Wednesday, I'm a total nervous wreck. Not to mention, by the way, the fact that after all those tests, you're literally radioactive. You know, my husband took me to lunch in the middle of all of this. He said, you know, this is the hottest date of my life. He said, my date is so hot, she's radioactive. I was cracking up. So anyway, you're radioactive for like 24 hours after all these tests. And I know you guys are thinking this is insane that I would even go through this. But here's the good news. Yesterday, Wednesday, I finally at like 4:55 said, I can't stand it. These guys haven't called me. So I call the office. I get a hold of the nurse for my oncologist, and I said, have you guys got the results from my scan back yet? Because believe me, one tiny speck on my lungs or my liver would have put me into that death sentence. And I said, have you guys got anything back? She said, well, actually, Catherine, yeah, we do. We do have your results. And I'm holding my breath. And she says, Catherine, you're as beautiful inside as you are outside. There was nothing there. And I'll tell you, I have not cried so hard in years. I sobbed and cried. My husband was sitting right there. We held each other. And, you know, you'd think I'd be jumping up and down going, hooray. Instead, it's so wild the way the human body and the emotions work. I cried and I cried and I cried. And then when I was done, I cried some more. We must have gone through a whole box of Kleenex between the two of us, holding each other with relief and joy and gratitude that I was not over the line into this whole other place where they don't even give you an option of chemo. I suppose I could if I wanted to demand it, but where they don't even have hope that anything would save you. And so I am, I was drawing this analogy earlier today. I have my countertop in my kitchen. I was telling a friend, it's kind of like you're racing at high speed right over to the cliff, and then you stop screeching, you know, Bugs Bunny style, right before you get to the edge of the cliff, and you're holding on by your toenails, and you realize, thank goodness and thank God that I'm still up on the cliff instead of down there in the pit. And that's me. So for that reason, because I've been celebrating and doing the happy dance all day long today, I had to come on. I know it's not Good News Friday, but I had to come on and tell you guys, I'm going to live. I'm going to make it. I guarantee it. Stay tuned.
Is it a conspiracy if it's all true?
There's no denying that we live in a surveillance society.
Homeland Security wants to ask me some questions.
The power to control and monitor every human being on the planet.
I don't know how they knew all about us.
Government will take more and more of their rights away from them.
One major world crisis away from having a totalitarian type system.
From Cloud 10 Pictures, the producers of Left Behind the movie, Shadow Government.
The main event is the wholesale destruction of world
government. The push for every nation on the globe to identify and number all of its citizens.
We are warned of such a global system.
The bad guy might today be Al-Qaeda, and it might tomorrow be Baptist.
The great experiment that was once America has been prostituted by special interests.
Evil exists.
All they're thinking about is, oh, government, do something, protect me, save us from all of this.
We are living in the last days.
Signed copies available at KatherineAlbrecht.com. Click on products or call 1-800-END-TIME, ENDTIME.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in 3 delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Big house up on a hill. Maybe we'll live there, maybe we never will. Wherever we go, we've already come so far. I'm happy just to keep on loving you right where we are. I'm happy just to keep on loving you right where we are. One day, baby, I travel overseas. There's an ancient castle in Spain or Italy. Might even sleep outdoors under the stars. I'm happy just to keep on loving you right where we are.
I have a big smile on my face, I can tell you guys. I love it. Right where we are. Hey, you know, this is the first day, too, because I've been complaining all winter long about this horrible winter. I got to say, this is probably the worst winter I've been through, weather-wise and, of course, personally. But today, it was like 60 degrees out. I know those of you in Texas, you're rolling your eyes like, you know, Catherine, we had that months ago. It's like 90 out here now. But 60 degrees for us after this really long, incredibly cold winter where we didn't even have a thaw. We got nailed with snow after snow. My yard still has like 2 feet of snow piled in the places where it's shady. And today it hit 60 degrees. The sun was shining. It smelled wonderful. I love springtime because the smell comes back. It's like in the wintertime, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but if you live in a place with snow, there's nothing to smell. Occasionally you can smell the snow, but I think somehow like all the olfactory, you know, things that float around have to have some warmth to actually, you know, be perceptible. There we go. And today I'm out and I'm actually like, I was smelling the earth and I was smelling the melting water from the snow and the sunshine. I know you can't really smell it, but I was smelling it. And I was thinking, what a glorious thing it is to be alive and how fabulous it is that, that we're just so incredibly blessed. I really do believe that. And I'll tell you guys, I have learned so much in the last 2 months. So much, even in the last month since I've been off the air, that I can't wait to fill you in on some of the things that I've figured out just about the way the world works and about the way things fit together, about the way health works, about the way relationships work, about the way like community and support and prayer and all this stuff that I've figured out. And it's been really an extraordinary journey. And one of the frustrating parts, and, you know, I've been trying to set up a blog on my website, and don't even get me going on why there's some technical impediment that is preventing that from happening. But I would love to be blogging about this because I know one of the reasons I was reluctant to come back on the air is I remember probably about 6 months ago, Ray, who is my producer, Ray says to me, hey, Catherine, you know, he sets up guests. So usually I'll tell him, hey, I want to get a guest on this topic, or here's somebody I want to interview. And he goes out and makes it happen. And oftentimes he'll have suggestions for me. He'll say, you know, I heard this person on another show, or I read their book, or I think this is really a great person you ought to interview. And so he says to me, I want to have this guest on who has overcome breast cancer. And I said, Ray, yuck. Like, who wants to turn on the radio and hear about breast cancer? Nobody wants to hear that. Like, here I am, right? So this is like 6 months ago, you know, a couple months before I was actually diagnosed with breast cancer. And I'm saying to Ray, you know, no. And I kid you not, probably three different times he tried to get me to go there and do a topic and do a show on breast cancer. And, you know, maybe it was like on some level I was in denial. I don't know. I mean, I had no clue that breast cancer was coming my way. But I was like, I so don't want to go there. Because who wants to, you know, I don't want to talk about cancer. It's probably one of the I don't know, 12 ugliest words in the English language, is it not? It's hideous, right? So you don't want to talk about that on the radio. And, you know, I'm looking back at that and saying, okay, well, I've had a month. I've been off the air. This is my fourth week that I was not doing a show. And thinking, how do you go back on the air when you've been through all of this? You know, the things that I've learned and figured out, how am I going to talk about those without talking about cancer? Yeah, right? And yet, who really wants to hear that? So that was my big debate. And finally, I got convinced sort of over the hump of reluctance to come back in the air, plus just kind of the getting back on the horse, you know, after all I've been through in the surgery and the mastectomy and the scare and the testing and all this stuff, is I was talking to someone who was actually a listener of the program and a good friend of mine, sort of both, and was saying, you know, when you listen to radio, you're really looking not so much for the news, you know, that's a big piece of it, but you're looking for, when you have a radio host that you like to listen to, she's explaining and we're kind of, you know, brainstorming together, your reason for listening is really because you want to see the world filtered through a particular lens, that person, whoever it might be, has an ability to take in information that we all see, and to somehow give it a different slant, kind of like looking through a kaleidoscope or looking through a different color of glasses, and is able to bring certain things into focus and crystallize things in a way. And what you're really listening for, in many cases, is not even so much the topic being discussed as it is the lens through which it's being looked at, because you know you're going to learn something interesting. And if there's one thing I can tell you guys, I really do believe that if I can continue to do this radio program, and I am starting chemotherapy next week, and we can go into some of those details later. I'll give you the details on that. But if I am going to be able to continue to do a show, and I fully would like to be able to do that, and I fully intend to be able to do that, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, that the things that I've learned I think are probably of larger universal value. And maybe I'm saying this just to reassure myself, because I don't want to bore you guys with talking about cancer. But there's something about actually facing, like I did on Monday, the very real possibility that I've got maybe 2 or 3 years left. And in many cases, a lot of women in stage 4 breast cancer are, I mean, they can be gone in 6 to 9 months. So going from that possibility to having what felt like being on death row and getting the presidential pardon, you know, the reprieve, which I had last night. There's something about that nothing else in my life, and I've spent a lot of time trying to figure things out, staring in the face of ugly stuff coming our way and beautiful stuff coming our way. Spent a lot of time trying to understand this road that we're on together. And I don't think I would have figured out some of the things that I figured out if I hadn't had that really hard slam up against a wall saying, Catherine, now you're going to really pay attention because you got to figure out your priorities. And there's something about that experience that I want to try to crystallize, and I'd love to be able to convey to you guys. And I know many people out there, I know many of our listeners, you know, I know many of you guys have been through this. And I want to thank you, by the way, for sharing your stories with me and your encouragement, because there's a lot of really brave survivors and fighters out there. You guys have done tremendous things, and you know what I'm talking about. But as I was pointing out 6 months ago, I didn't know, you know, this woman who had survived breast cancer, I was like, I don't want her on my show. I don't want want to think about that. Ew. You know, we all kind of want to bury our head in the sand until it actually comes up and you know, becomes your personal up-close reality. So lots of things I can tell you about. I got to tell you, I have to be able to tell you about this bone scan, which was one of the funniest things that has happened to me through this whole process. And not in any kind of a bad way, but just in a totally hilarious way, and lots of other things that I've learned. Listen, in the meantime, I'm not sure what's going to be happening. I know tomorrow I've got a whole bunch of additional testing and other stuff going on. So for those of you hearing this program live on Thursday, Good News Friday will probably, hopefully, be my last rebroadcast of Good News Friday in a while. Bear with me. I do intend to be back on the air next week. And I'd love to get some feedback from folks. You know, just let me know that you're out there and you're hearing the show. My email address, kma@spychips.com, kma@spychips.com. My telephone number here, which I guess, I won't give it out because we're about to end the hour, but there is a phone number here. I will give it out next time I'm live on the air. Hopefully we can get some callers in. You guys can share your stories, and I'd love to kind of, you know, talk one-on-one with some folks on the air here just about what's been going on. And, you know, the bottom line, I'm just delighted to be back. I'm thrilled to be alive. I have every intention. You know, cancer is one of these diseases that probably more than any other is all about mental attitude. And if that counts for anything, I'm going to be here for a long time to come. I have a major amount of work that I still want to accomplish and still have yet undone, and I fully intend to be doing every bit of it. So if you'd like to drop me a line, kma@spychips.com. The website is katherinealbrecht.com, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Albrecht, A-L-B, R-E-C-H-T, katherinealbrecht.com. As I always say, if you forget that, log on to our favorite private search engine, startpage.com or startingpage.com. Just look up Katherine Radio. You can quickly find the website. And if you would like to let anybody else know that I'm alive and well and thriving, you can send them to the archive of today's program, Thursday, May 17th. Just go to katherinealbrecht.com, click on Archives and Guests, navigate your way to March 17th, and this program will be there in all of its MP3 archived, computerized, recorded glory, and you can share it with somebody else who'd like to hear the good news. So the good news, God is real. He is absolutely active in our lives. He loves and cares for every single one of us, and I fully believe that he has every intention of healing me. All right, thank you, guys. I love you. God bless you, and I will talk to you again next week.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.